Our next guest is an American veteran of the war in Afghanistan. Major Kristen Rouse deployed there three times. She worked extensively with Afghan troops, and now she's watching the collapse of all that she worked for. She's part of a group called the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, which is urging the U.S. to move out all the Afghans it can.
When I woke up and saw that the Taliban were entering Kabul, the image that came to my mind was watching the Titanic sinking, but knowing that only the crew are getting the lifeboats. And then for all of our friends who are in the water, about to die, they are reaching out to us on social media, telephone, in every way that they can, to beg us for lifeboats.
Are you hearing directly from people?
Yes. Some of them have been in a years-long process to get interpreter visas, the SIVs, which is just an agonizingly bureaucratic process. And there's been many delays, denials, and folks can't get visas. At this point, they can't even get passports. And they are begging. They're begging for a way out.
I guess we should be clear. It's not that people waited until this past week to start applying for visas. We've interviewed people who've been waiting for years.
Yes. One of my interpreters in particular, he's been trying different things for really the last decade. And I've been messaging with him for many years, trying to figure out other options, other ways to help him. And there's been an endless series of dead ends, walls, attorneys telling me that they can't do anything. The Taliban are, as I speak, going door to door to identify individuals who have worked at any time with the U.S. Yesterday, I got a final message saying, I am about to die. If something bad happens to me, I will see you in heaven. And I'm not the only veteran. I've spoke with other veterans who are getting goodbye messages like this. People believe they're going to die.
Do you feel a personal responsibility?
Absolutely. I made promises to people. I said, you are working with us. We will do all we can. And, you know, I'm one veteran connected with people, and I'm not seeing where we have answers. Where we have answers or a way out for the people that who did good work for us. We could not have done any of our missions in Afghanistan at all. We could not have done anything in Afghanistan without local interpreters, you know, other workers who sustained us, who worked on our bases, who worked with NGOs, who worked with, you know, these humanitarian aid organizations, who taught in schools, who worked in government and education and judicial structure. I mean, like, so many Afghans believed in what we were doing. We believed in what we were doing.
I want to be clear, you're talking about a much broader category of people now, not just people who worked as interpreters or in other key roles for the United States military, but possibly millions of people who in one way or another embraced the opportunities of at least attempting to build a democracy in Afghanistan.
Yes, and they are at risk. They are at risk, and so many will be killed. We're talking about hundreds of thousands.
Part of the reason this is such a crisis now, of course, is because Afghan cities ending with Kabul fell so quickly after what seemed like little resistance. Many Americans felt surprised by the speed with which everything fell. Were you surprised?
That is a hard question to answer. Afghan military, the Afghan National Army, Afghan police, they have been fighting and dying for 20 years. Americans paid a price in blood. Afghan military and police paid a vastly higher price. They went out with nowhere near the support, nowhere near the pay, nowhere near the equipment, nowhere near the ammo, even body armor. They didn't have armor on their trucks. The Afghan military rode around in unarmored Ford Rangers that we gave them. If a roadside bomb was set for an up-armored United States MRAP, mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicle, if an ANA Ford Ranger hit a bomb set for one of our vehicles, They were obliterated. They've been fighting all this time. And to say now they didn't resist, they didn't fight for their country, is just an it's wrong.
And yet President Biden did say that the Afghans had the capacity to fight back. The question is, will they do it? And his spokesperson, Jen Psaki, said the question was whether they have the political will to fight back.
I can't speak directly to that. But I am just heartbroken that we are just blaming people who've had their lives on the line and have been sacrificing with us for years and suffering. It's unreal to me that we would suddenly walk away from intense partnerships saying, well, you couldn't make it on your own. Too bad.
What do you think remains of these 20 years of effort?
I believe that the investment we made was in people. We built friendships. We built relationships. We made promises. We helped to give structure and opportunity to so many Afghans who were able to have hope, who were able to build, who were able to do things on their own. And they Afghans were working very hard for all of those 20 years. I believe if we're going to preserve any of that investment, we need to preserve human life. We need to preserve the people so that they can keep building.
You used the word hope. You were on this program, as some people may recall, in 2020, and you told Noel, there's Afghans every day who choose hope, and so I choose hope along with them. Are you able to say that today?
It's really hard, Steve. And, you know, ultimately, while people are alive, we have to believe that we can keep them alive. We have to try. We owe it to them to try.
Major Rouse, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Kristen Rouse is with a group called Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America.